Sports Radio 929 The Game. Appreciate you guys listening to us, staying safe from the rain out there. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Just coming off a epic Ally Mac drop where we read some of Bo's tweets, both in German and angry voice, which, you know, look, just getting the people of Germany in Berlin ready for the entrance of Squidbilly.
You know, I've realized something. After y'all have read these tweets to me, mm-hmm. and I know that I know who some of these are aimed at, or yeah. who I was tweeting replying to.
Yeah,
I might go full Kevin Durant.
You gonna get the burner?
I'm thinking about it.
To get the burner account going.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a good idea.
I
used to have a burner.
I'll call myself Billy Squid. Nobody will know.
Nobody will figure that out. Not at all.
I was gonna say you can't have any affiliation.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't already have one though.
No, why would I? Who would have a burner account?
I got a burner account when I started teaching.
Really?
Because I don't need the kids to be smart. Following me on Twitter and like knowing, or you know what I mean?
Instagram
went private and I had a burner account.
Did you like talk bad about like players? Like at Lassiter player number 71. This sucks.
It was a different era of life. I can understand that. I have a fake Insta to watch people's stories who I don't want to know I'm watching their stories.
Yes.
So
yes.
You Insta stalk people?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I watch their stories. Not on my account.
I knew there was something we could dig in.
There's
on
There's your
right here.
Dirty
yes.
little secret.
I know
Allie.
It. I know it.
She's a social media
Thank
stalker.
You.
I would never.
Here we are, a month plus, and it's like finally there's a chink in the armor. She's got a Finsta.
I'll never look at you the same, Allie.
No.
Of all the people that I would think have a burner account at this radio station, Allie was at the bottom of the list. Now, yeah. I like Bell's at the top. I'm pretty positive.
Why would he need a burner account, dude? He just airs it out. Like, he's not hiding anything.
Because I think he holds back. Believe it or not, I think he holds back just a little bit.
Yeah. Huh.
I think it's really
just
more to go
smidge.
At people. Yeah.
There's a
He's
real
probably one of the accounts that attacks me all the time. It's probably his burner.
So if we follow up one of his tweets and it says somebody calls him an idiot and then there's somebody taking up for him after it. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Mike Bell's awesome.
Yeah, that's Mike's burner account.
There's a real danger in that, though, because people have done that. They have conversations with themselves, but they forget to switch the account.
Oh, for sure.
So they instantly out themselves as that Finsta.
There was somebody.
Kevin Durant outed himself.
Yeah. There was like a commissioner or something that did this at one point, and it was like, dude.
I think it was Manfred.
Was it?
I think it was Manfred or Silver One. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I want to say.
I remember there was a celebrity that did it, too, and like. It was obvious. I think it was Normani, and she was. I think she like
who was
Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony. She's a singer.
Yeah, still lost.
But anywho, she had like her verified account, and there was account clearly that there was another tweet saying like something in support of her, and you could just clearly tell it was a burner account.
Like all the same people that followed all the same people.
I
make those mistakes, man. Come on.
I could. There's like you. I can think of an athlete in every sport that probably has a burner.
For sure.
We know Durant does.
They got the satellite ears. They hear everything.
Yeah. I bet you Aaron Rodgers has a burner account because he's just holier than thou that probably has one. You trying to think of.
Problem is, it messes your DM game up when you got the Finsta.
What do you mean?
Well, if like you're an NBA player, you want to keep the DMs open, right?
Like, well, that's what your regular account's for.
You want people to know. Which account is yours, you know? It's mine was talked to you.
Well, yeah.
You can go back. I mean, it's different.
I guess the DMs are private anyways.
DMs go different. It goes to the account that it's...
If you're sending a message.
Yeah, if you slide into Kevin Durant's DMs, it doesn't go to his burner.
This is how we know Mike really doesn't do the whole burner thing. Like, he has no idea how it works.
I had one. Well,
they're
I couldn't even tell
you
the last time I logged into the one I did have when I was teaching. That was so many years ago. Probably 6 years ago I started that thing. It's probably got 3 tweets.
I was like,
why am I doing this? Like, I don't have controversial takes anyways for the most part on Twitter.
I want to know what your what people's burner accounts name
what
would
their
be.
Names are.
Yeah, like I think that's interesting. Like
Mo Borgen.
I'm going to ask Allie hers off the air. Maybe she'll tell me. But,
yeah, right.
But I think that would what would your burner account be? Like the name, what would it be?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Grant McCauley.
All I can think is Day Day with the rhyme dragon.
Yeah, but he's told people that's his name. He can't go with that now.
I know. All right. So let's pivot. Let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. I want to hear from Some of the things that were coming off the podium yesterday, there's a couple of interesting little tidbits. And later on in the show, I want to get to Raheem Morris talking a little bit about the personal improvements and how he wants to identify problems faster. But one of the relationships that became apparent that it's going to be massive moving forward is the relationship between Michael Penix and Darnell Mooney. Yesterday, Michael Penix was asked about the relationship with Darnell Mooney. Here's what he had to say.
Oh, it's been great. You know, he's a guy that's willing to work all the time, you know, and I appreciate those type of guys, you know, always willing to, you know, do the extra or hit my phone and say they want to throw, you know. So, you know, he's always willing to work. So it's been good and it's been growing, and he's a good dude too, so.
Yeah. It's been great. He's been throwing. I've been throwing.
I love the he's a good dude too.
Yeah, he's a good dude too.
He's good people too. Like that's funny. That made me laugh.
Yeah, Michael Penix also went a little bit more in depth about creating some of those explosives.
I'll say just his ability to get open. You know, he can do a lot of things at that position. It's hard to cover him 1-on-1. So anytime we get those opportunities, we got to take advantage of it.
Would I be wrong in saying that the relationship between Michael Penix and Darnell Mooney is much bigger than the relationship between him and Drake London? And I think Drake London's stats will be bigger. I think he'll have more yards. I think obviously he's that power slot position. He's the alpha in that room. But listening to these guys talking about creating explosives, which we know has been a thorn in the side of the Atlanta Falcons offense for a number of years. That's why you went and drafted Bijan Robinson, is creating these long explosive plays. And when they signed Darnell Mooney, give Terry Fontenot credit. He identified the fact that Darnell was a burner, and he's a guy that can get over the top. And when you have a guy in Michael Penix that has the quote-unquote howitzer for an arm, you can expect big things going deep down the field at times this year, I believe.
Yeah. Just think about some of the plays that Darnell and Kirk made together, and Kirk's arm is good, but not Penix, right?
Yeah, he's got the he's got an Ozzie Albies arm.
Think about the throw where against Tampa, the goal line, where he puts it up and he climbs up the ladder. I mean, and Darnell right at the goal line in the first
Tampa
game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, balls on the back. That was huge.
Darnell can go up and make some of those catches. Yeah, the deep ball is going to be one thing. That's why Darnell was brought in here. To me, I always thought Darnell was brought in to be the deep threat while Drake is doing everything, because there's no one else you can really depend on to do that. You can't depend on the tight end to do those things. And Ray McCloud is more of a middle of the field kind of player, really. I mean, he can go deep, but he's more other thing. Think about the throw to Darnell on the sideline in against Minnesota that Kirk made, which was probably one of his best throws all season in Minnesota.
Good point.
And so. It's intriguing to think about what it can be with him in here.
Well, and taking a look at Darnell's stats from last year, you know, week 15 against the Giants, he had 6 targets, 5 catches, 82 yards. Week 17, 2 catches on 5 targets, 37 yards. Is that what we can expect moving forward? Are you good with this stat line?
I'm good with him getting 5 to 7 targets. I'm not good with the week 17 where you said he got 2 catches on 5 targets. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. And you know why? You know what? That was on Penix.
One miss. It makes me sick to think about.
They lost, along with the timeout issue, that lost them the game, is missing him on that bench route. That was big, and that's why it's good. Look, that's why I care that the receivers are there. I know that it's not the same in OTAs as it is in camp or in a game, Mike. But Allie, it's so important to at least have the, and I know that they're throwing on the side, but to have that feel and that timing. That's why it bothers me that the tight end is not there.
Yeah.
And I think that Ray's worked with Penix some more than the other guys because of, you know, the way teams run. But, you know, sometimes Ray probably was the guy I know in Canning Camp would run with both sides, the twos and the ones.
Yeah, and you saw at the end of the year, to your point, how guys like Chris Blair started getting opportunities and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. But, yeah, I'm with Bo. You talk about the week 15, week 16 and the stat lines. Like, five catches on six targets against the Giants, which it was a resounding victory. But to Bo's point, there is that feeling that kind of sticks out in your mind of like, dude, if you could have had that one back against Washington. And I off the top of my head, I can't remember all the details. I remember thinking if he would have caught that, then you don't even find yourself in the predicament with the timeout.
No, because he gets 2 feet and he steps out of bounds.
Yeah.
And you're in better field goal range than where you were when you actually kicked it. Look, I know we're talking about Darnell, but go back to the end of the first half. That drive at the end of the first half, he misses Drake. Drake's wide open, yeah. And he missed him again. He misses. It was a similar. Those are timing throws, and I asked Arch that day in halftime. I said, "What is that? Is that a timing throw? Is that an accuracy issue?" And he was like, "Look, that's one of those things where they're kind of yeah, sure you can say accuracy because you missed the guy, but." It's a timing thing where if you're used to dealing and working with that guy,
right.
It's probably something, a throw you probably don't miss.
You know how long it takes for those guys to get out of their breaks and things like that and get towards the sideline and how much you trust them to be able to
and
catch the ball.
It's experience too, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Like quarterback.
Darnell was asked yesterday about what he wants to see this coming year with Michael Penix at the helm. Here's what he had to say.
I did pretty well with, the deep routes. And the biggest thing what I want to do is catch the ball, take something to the crib, make at least three people miss, have some exciting plays.
Make at least three people miss and have some exciting plays. Sign me up, right? Sign me up. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, you talk about making three people miss and obviously hitting guys over the top and you know, kind of having his way with things as far as the deep ball goes. If you can create just a couple of more of those explosives, and also those out-cutting routes where he bends back into the defense after he catches it, and, you know, the timing's good with Michael Penix, I think it's a beautiful thing. Stiff arm safety, get up the field, split the coverage.
It's exciting. I'm also excited about Bijan Robinson's growth in the passing game. Now, we saw it get better. I thought it grew last year with Kirk in some of the time. But imagine Bijan with a little wheel route with Penix's arm and the accuracy.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the SEC meetings happening down in Destin. Why Kirby Smart was a little hot under the collar yesterday talking about his quarterback. Who poked the bear and who came to his defense? Don't want to miss this on the other side. Stick with us. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is 7:24 here on The Morning Shift. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, and Dylon hanging out with you here on Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for taking us along on the ride. On your way to work? I don't know. The roads were empty yesterday when I left here.
No, I got some traffic.
Did you?
Must have went different roads than me.
Yeah. What time did you head out of here yesterday?
10
I think
o'clock?
I left at 10.
No, then I left later than you. You did not leave here at 10. There's no way.
I think
way.
I did.
No, there's no way.
We stuck around afterwards for a little bit.
What are you talking about?
Oh, did you guys talk trash about me?
we stuck around in the office.
We talked about it right in front of you.
Yeah, you were in there with us.
No, I was in there for another 30 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. And
I left.
10:30?
No.
That was your choice.
For you? Yeah.
No.
Anyways, neither here nor there.
All right. They have no concept of time.
I'll say this. I remember walking out of Mike's office and it was like 9:40.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we left Mike's office. All of us left Mike's office around 9:40.
Not me. I stayed.
Well, yeah, you stayed. So I say that because Mike probably did leave. Mike and I probably did leave around 10-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got home then at 10:40 somehow. Anyways, speaking of riding, Amy's sending me pictures. She's got this camera. Like that, she can put. You know how people put mirrors to see the car seat?
She's
got a camera.
She has a back seat camera.
Yeah,
like
that's
inside
awesome.
The car.
Yeah, look at this. Like there's Pork Chop
on the way to daycare.
First of all, shout out to y'all for having the zeros in line to be just buying up technology like that.
I didn't buy it.
Must have hit a good bonus.
That didn't come from the Squid Nation account.
Yeah, that's crazy. Good for her. Let me see that one more time.
She's so
that's
cute.
Crazy.
Yeah. Look at her.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
She's
you need
chilling.
To put that on your on one of your socials with your burner account.
I don't want people seeing what my kid looks like.
You need to put that on socials with your burner account. We're going to get you a burner. Like, maybe that's the wake-up call question. Do you have a burner account, and what should Bo's burner account be called?
Yeah, that'd be good.
What should Bo's burner account name be for his Twitter handle that we're going to get him? We're going to get him a burner account. Also, for the wake-up call today coming up at 8 o'clock, what is your confidence level in Gunnar Stockton? I don't know.
I don't know. I hear mixed things about him, man.
Yeah.
I'll ask one person, and they'll say something good. And then I'll ask another person, and they're like, I don't know, could be a one-read quarterback. I don't know, we got to figure it out.
Speaking of those two people that you're probably hearing from, let's go to listen to some of these cuts from yesterday. Just craziness all day on the Paul Feinbaum show. And what I want you to hear right now is Paul Feinbaum's take on having Gunnar Stockton at quarterback at Georgia.
Fine or not fine with Gunnar Stockton now their starting quarterback?
I would say that's a big not fine. I know the team coalesced around him after the SEC championship game, but I was underwhelmed by what I saw from Gunnar Stockton in the Sugar Bowl loss to Notre Dame.
Look, man, I'm not a big Paul Feinbaum guy. I think sometimes it's more difficult to kind of listen to him talk about your program than it is other ones, where sometimes you feel like he's fair when it talks about other programs, but then he talks about your own, and you're like, what's this guy talking about, man? The vibes are high. The vibes are high. Keep your mouth shut. Well, somebody that didn't like what he had to say was one Mr. Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I'm excited. Gunnar got the message, man. He got the message. You did your job.
Okay. Listen, I have admired you and respected you for so many years.
Absolutely.
I feel like at this point in your career, you need a little help from me.
I appreciate it.
To get
that.
You to the first game and over the finish line.
I'm glad you did. You've always been, that's why I always come on your show, because I love the fact that you give me that motivation.
So I'm curious, do you think the players are aware when Feinbaum is making comments, the narrative around them?
Yeah, this is, well, and I will say this, Feinbaum, before he went to SEC, he was on radio in Birmingham on Jocks when I was in college. I think he started on SEC Network in 2009 or maybe 2010, something along, whenever SEC Network was announced. I remember hearing about Paul Feinbaum when the conversation came up about Nick Saban being hired at Alabama, and Paul Feinbaum was straight up like, it's not a desirable job anymore. Like, it's not a top 10 job in the country. Like, nobody wants to take that job. And I didn't even know who he was, and I remember being just, like, excruciatingly angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who is this freaking guy? And I had the same reaction that so many people have when they hear some of the things he says, where it's like, dude, who are you? I'm sure that Gunnar Stockton probably hears some of these things.
I just feel like Paul Feinbaum is miscast as a sports talk show host. To me, he looks like he should be running, like, an embalming place, you know, in like South Alabama.
Mortuary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he looks like a funeral home guy, like more than he does
like
a
the crypt keeper.
Well, no, not like that, but like he just looks like he should be running a funeral home. Yeah. I mean, you cannot see him with a suit and tie. And but would you like the wood casket, or we have the metal finish, the gunmetal finish? It would fit nicely. You can have your shotgun buried with you,
gosh,
here,
dude.
And Opelika, you know, like, no, I mean, he looks creepy. I'm sorry, he does, but he does a good job of playing.
He pokes a bear.
He plays into his listeners and his viewers, and he's always done a good job of that, which is why he was successful. I mean, he's the guy that Harvey Updike called. Paul?
Yeah.
I went down there and poisoned those trees, Paul. And,
so
I mean,
you know what I did? Took me some Spike D80.
And
I went down there and poisoned him trees.
Well, you were in college.
God, that was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
Why? You didn't
as
do
a
it?
I know, as a Bama guy, I was like, come on, dude. Like, that's just, but plays into every stereotype you ever hear about an Alabama fan.
What we didn't hear, though, in that part was Kirby gets there, and Paul Feinbaum was like, well, you didn't hear me this morning. He goes, I heard it. Oh, I heard it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kirby, I think they hear everything. And let me say this. Allie, you asked if they hear. I don't know if Gunnar Stockton heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you he'll hear it. I guarantee you the time frame that Gunnar Stockton's in the weight room. Mike, you know, didn't y'all play the loss to Florida in the weight room that year?
God, we had posters of – dude, we had, like, massive, massive, like, fathead-style posters of our loss to Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
I mean,
which was,
it would make you
which
vomit.
Was your redshirt sophomore year, which is your
yes.
third year in college, because
yes.
Mike redshirted. So I can guarantee you that Kirby Smart makes sure that Gunnar Stockton hears what's being said about him. It's definitely a motivation tool. There's two types of people, I guess, for me. I think there's two types of people. There's the ones that need nothing but positive back up and being just told all these positive things about how good they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other type that need, that want to, that feed off of the negative and the negative things that are said and negative comments, and they use that as fuel. I'm a bad fuel guy personally. I don't know what Gunnar Stockton is, but personally, say all the bad things you want about me. All you do is fuel me.
I do think that there is probably a little bit of concern, Georgia fans, when you think about the combination of Gunnar Stockton and Mike Bobo coming off that Notre Dame game like Paul Feinbaum was talking about. So I do want to hear from Georgia fans coming up at 8 o'clock in the wake-up call about their confidence level, not about Gunnar Stockton, but about the combination of Mike Bobo and Gunnar Stockton.
What was Bobo supposed to do with the worst offensive line Georgia's had since Kirby's first year, the worst running game since – oh, I don't know when. And then Kirby makes a decision. It's Kirby's decision at the end of the first half.
No.
Hey, go. Don't know. Go. That's Kirby's decision. That's not Bobo. Now, Bobo called the play, but Kirby's the one that said foot on the gas.
Yeah, I think that, and I don't want to speak for Georgia fans. I want them to call and weigh in at 8 o'clock, but I just think that a lot of people around that situation figured it would be more fruitful when you hear about the team rallying around him and some of the things he did against Texas in the SEC title game. One of the people who did come to Gunnar Stockton and Kirby Smart's defense actually resides over in Oxford, Mississippi. That was one Mr. Lane Kiffin.
Plus, I'm sticking up for Kirby. I just saw him walking off, and he said you were mean to him today. Guy's only been to, I just counted when they had him listed up there, 7 of the 8 last SEC championships, and you rip on him today.
I wasn't ripping on him. I was ripping on his quarterback.
Oh, okay.
I was just
telling you, he seemed in a bad mood. You used to piss off Coach Saban. Now you piss off Coach Smart. It's like you just move them around.
So
that was like the best 4 minutes of television of all time.
I'm just awkward. I'm just confused I'm not confused. I'm curious how much Lane paid Daniel Tosh to go up there and be his fill-in. Dude, they already look alike. But that was like an Abbott and Costello act, that four-minute interview with Feinbaum.
But the first, I want to say, 30 to 45 seconds, I was like, I'm not sure I can watch this because it's so awkward.
Skin starts crawling.
And then you kind of get in on it, and you're like, all right, they're just messing with me.
I feel like Lane has always done this, though, where he tries to point out just how ridiculous this entire ordeal is with Paul Feinbaum. He just thinks it's ridiculous that this even exists. And you remember him calling out Paul and be like, what are you even good at, man? Like, what are you good at?
You know,
like, we don't even know what your talent is. You just take phone calls and you talk crap.
But it's hard to take Lane Kiffin calling stuff ridiculous.
Yeah.
When this guy had like a middle of the night press conference to leave Tennessee.
Oh, I agree.
To go to USC. I mean, all the things that Lane Kiffin has pulled, all the things he said his first year and a half at Tennessee. And so for him to call it other people being ridiculous is a little much for me. But that's just me.
Yeah.
He has grown up. He's turned into a pretty good coach, but it's maybe you're not the guy to do that.
Yeah. We come back in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit more about the loss for the Atlanta Braves and what we can expect in the next couple of days as they take on the Philadelphia Phillies. We also got a Which One Wednesday, Allie.
Yeah, kind of on the same flavor as that. Would you rather get hit in the elbow by a 95-mile-per-hour pitch?
Nope.
Or sacked by Jalen Walker? Think about it.
Stick with us here. This is going to be good. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 929. It's the morning shift at 7:42. I'm interrupting a very spirited conversation within the studio. It's Mike.
It's always spirited in here.
Allie Mack. Yep, we're talking about High Noons versus the drinks that Bo makes at home because they're better than High Noons and White Claw and all that.
They are. They taste better. The concept may be the same. I'll openly admit that. They don't taste the same, okay?
Mass production versus made at home. Yes.
That's right.
I'm very interested in this because I do, when I do indulge, I do like a High Noon. So I now really want to taste your drink, Bo.
Now you got to make one and bring it in.
Yeah, now you got to make one for me.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Bring in a pitcher.
You bring your Yeti.
Okay.
With ice in it.
Okay.
You bring your vodka and go buy a flavored sparkling ice. I'll make it for you and show you how to make it.
Bet. Say all less. Right.
So I mean, I can make one
Sounds
for
like
you.
Sounds like something that could happen on FaceTime.
No.
He's got to show me in person because he's got
to
put he's got to put his Squidbilly touch on.
I need one of the 20 Balls. Ounce Yetis. So you got to bring one of the 20 ounce. That's what I make mine in.
Okay, I got you.
Anyways,
I feel like we all need a drink after last night's game. Braves, Phillies. They lost 2-0. Just kind of an ugly game. Spencer Strider just doesn't seem like himself. Are we still in that grace period where we're giving him a minute to get readjusted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I will say this. I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and I was getting so frustrated. Because I think Mark DeRosa does as good a job as anybody when he's breaking down the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they, like, when you listen to people on MLB Network talk about the Braves, there is no grace period. Well, you know what? This team is whole now.
Right.
They've been pointing to the fact that this team is whole. Strider's back. Cunha's back. They're whole. I'm like, my God. Like, can we not get just at least two starts under their belt of Spencer Strider before we start expecting him to throw no hitters?
Right.
Well, I don't think they're whole because we don't have the free agent acquisition that is supposed to be starting in left field.
They're the same team that they wished that they went into last year thinking they would have.
No. We had a different left fielder last year.
Jared Kelnick.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean,
pretty close.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, you had a better bullpen.
You're minus Max Fried.
You had a better bullpen. You had Mentor. You had
Ronaldo Lopez.
You had what's my guy that Joe Jimenez.
Yeah. Shout out.
You're different. You had Travis d'Arnaud. You have Drake, which I'm not arguing that difference. I'm just sure. Going through. You had Arcia coming off what was a career year.
Yeah.
And now you have he's been DFA'd.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Nick Allen, who is a phenomenally good defensive shortstop. So, yeah, you know, Dansby would have been nice right now, a little bit more pop.
I was taking up for the Braves. I just want to make that point be known. And you didn't even like that. So I don't even know where to go with you anymore because every time I talk bad about anybody in the Braves, you don't like that. But then I go take up for them in terms of the national media, the way we do sometimes the show. You didn't like that. So I'm not even sure what you want me to say. Do you feel like this team is?
I disagree with you and said they're not whole. I said they're not whole. I agree with you, and then you said, "Well, it's the same thing they had last year." No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's actually worse. The bullpen is worse. You had a guy who had been a starter to now you have a platoon in left field. You have your star player is coming off injury, and your what you thought was your star pitcher is coming off injury. I mean, you're not the same team. It's going to take Spencer Strider a month, I think. But the problem is he gave you one earned run in 4 2/3 yesterday.
I was going to say he gave it one hit.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a guy that's going to go 9 innings or 8 innings or even 7 innings on average. He's a 5 to 6 inning pitcher. That's the problem. And that's always been who he is. We just get enamored with, well, he had 13 strikeouts in 6 innings. Yeah. And he threw 100 and, you know, last night he threw, 90 pitches, something, and 4 2/3. That's always been who he is.
Well, I think he just seems a little bit more frazzled last night. Obviously, hitting Bryce Harper in the first inning will do that.
Yeah.
I mean, their star player, he's getting booed like crazy.
I was like, here we go.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what an awful start to the game. So you're seeing it on his face the whole time. It wasn't a bad game as far as his outing, but you could just see he was shaken.
I just don't think he's comfortable yet, Allie. I think to your point, he is used to saying this is I think it was Bryson Stott in the top of the bottom of the third had like an 11 pitch at bat, 12 pitch, something like that, and ended up walking. And that is a point where he fought off a ton of balls. And normally Strider could rear back and go 98, 99 and probably get a Bryson Stott type player. And he couldn't last night. And then he ends up missing. I think that was like 85 high and inside, which was like, so obviously it was, you know, a breaking ball. That's not who he's been.
Yeah.
And I think that's frustrating for him.
To your point, I was watching that at bat thinking this is the at bats that the Braves should be having against Ranger Suarez. And not that there wasn't any good at bats, but I go all the way back to Saturday in the Boston game, like at bat after at bat, you felt like they were stringing something together. And you just haven't had that. You haven't had that the last couple of games that you've seen them take the field. And I think that's so important for them to not be an easy out at any point in the game. And it's too many times that I look at them and go, dude, that was really simple for the pitcher. Just had to go up there, throw a couple pitches. Like, they're missing stuff over the middle of the plate.
Yeah, I thought Olson had one of those at-bats. He might have had two of them. I think Marcel had one of those at-bats. But at the end of the day, nothing came from them.
Yeah.
It's frustrating watching we talk about how bad the bullpen is at times and they lose 2-0.
Yeah.
It's not the bullpen's fault.
You will get A.J. Smith-Shawver against Zach Wheeler tonight. That's another 6:45 Eastern time game. You can catch that on FanDuel Sports. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Let's hit this mic'd up.
It might be mic'd up, but it's Which One Wednesday, so I'm taking over.
Allie mac'd up.
We are going to put Mike and Bo against one another in Which One Wednesday. Dylan, as always, is going to be the judge. Gentlemen, are you ready?
I think so. I got the title belt ready. Ready
Bo,
to defend.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Bo, we'll start with you. Which is more unbelievable, the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr. hit a home run on his first pitch back with the Braves, or the fact that you predicted that Ronald Acuna would hit a home run on his first pitch back with the Braves? Mm. Which is more unbelievable?
Mm. Well, it had to be the fact that he did it, because I'm always right, and I tell you what's going to happen. Now, the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr., after, a year off, comes back, and the first pitch he sees against a pretty freaking good team, by the way.
Ding.
The only run they scored that night, by the way.
Ding.
Was off his bat. And it all happened on, by the way.
Ding.
The first pitch of the game. That's who he is. That's what he does. I just don't think we at most, not all, some would say most, did not expect it to happen right there. But I told you differently. And I was the first one to tell you that it was going to happen.
Can we have a moment?
I mean,
of
I still
here.
Think he's going to lead off and hit a home run on the first pitch tonight. So
yeah, can we have a moment of clarity here? This man guessed and got it right. Okay, he guessed and got it right, as did four other hosts on this station and probably multiple people throughout the media community. They guessed and got
they
it.
They didn't guess and get it right. They heard
crazy
me say
things
it and they
happens
said, that
in
sounds
sports.
Right. I'm going to go
crazy.
With Bo.
This is my turn.
He's
answer.
Always right.
Crazy things happen in sports. All right, this man guessed. He threw a dart at the dartboard, and it just happened to hit the bullseye. So my answer to your question is it's more incredible that he actually got it right, because I've heard him say some outlandish things on this show, and only 1 out of 100 does it ever land like that. That's the crazy part of this entire ordeal.
Well, we all love the optimism. Okay, if you're a gamer, big stuff happening with Star Wars Battlefront 3. They just dropped another teaser about it. So given that, which fandom is more intense, Mike? Or on the brink of being
okay.
a cult.
Okay.
Star Wars fans or Taylor Swift fans?
Oh, definitely Star Wars fans.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I think, look, the Swifties have their own moment, right? They're having this thing. There are Star Wars fans that have been Star Wars fans for 40 years and know the entire languages going on in Star Wars. Yeah. So while there are people out there that know every word to Taylor Swift songs and they dance and they put glitter and everything on their face, Star Wars people, they've got the longevity. They've got the intense longevity to go wrong with that fandom. The fact that they know that, you know, things like that, like, yeah, give me that.
Are you kidding me? It's obviously Taylor Swift fans. They started watching a whole sport they don't care about because she got a Kelce brother.
This is okay? my opportunity to say just because he says it loudly doesn't mean he's correct.
This is my time, so stop talking, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taylor Swift fans do not care about football. Yet they all suddenly became Chiefs fans the last 2 or 3 seasons. Why? Because Taylor Swift is dating a Hall of Fame tight end. The only reason they literally have t-shirts that say, "Go Taylor's boyfriend." Yeah. Star Wars fans were born in it. They were molded by it. They were raised on Star Wars and a galaxy far, far away. These people completely went off the reservation to be a part of something that they have no care for.
All right.
Only because of her.
Was that an intentional Dark Knight Rises reference in there? I was raised by it.
No, it was absolutely intentional.
All right, which would you rather, and I know it's neither, but you have
rapid
to pick
fire.
One.
Rapid fire.
Get hit in the elbow by a 95-mile-per-hour pitch from Spencer Strider, or get sacked by the Falcons' first-round draft pick, Jalen Walker.
Look, man, this is a personal thing for me. I am about 6'6", 300. I don't fear any man hitting me like Jalen Walker. I'm sure it would hurt. That little pinch in that elbow, though, no thank you. I don't need a hard fastball going to the elbow. I don't need anything hitting me in the elbow, actually. I'm good.
I'd rather have a broken elbow than broken ribs or more. So no. I'll take the 95 heat before I let Jalen Walker split me in half. I'm only and for the record, by the way, I'm only 5'8", 160. Yeah.
Which life would you rather have? Be a time traveler stuck 100 years in the past, but you have a working smartphone so you can tweet. Or be a person in the future where you can download any skill instantly, strength, intelligence, whatever. You know, you could be a Brave, you could be a WWE wrestler, but every time you download this skill, you lose a personal memory. Bo?
Well, I'll be a time traveler because I'll be tweeting about, you know, everything like Wyatt Earp and them back in the day and all the stuff that happened. And I can, if I can tweet the history and really that way, I love history anyways. So living things that happen 100 years from now and just popping around to different times, not having to like have any consequences of it. Maybe go back and watch, you know, the OK
Corral.
So is
that the first option or the second option?
It was the first one.
The first one. Okay.
The gunfight. Go back and watch the gunfight, the OK Corral. Maybe film it for everybody and they really show what happened. Did Doc Holliday really talk like Val Kilmer did? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to the future. I think I'm going to the future. Like, what good does it do me to live in the past when I can't access anything that I can see on my smartphone? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, air conditioner's great. I can read it on Google, but can I build an AC? Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, so I need the materials. Losing a memory, yeah, that's going to suck. But, you know, I'll just keep building new ones because I'm probably going to be in the WWE at that point. I'll probably be dressed as the Big Show. You know
amazing.
What I mean? I can get to do whatever I want to.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dylan, do we have a verdict back there?
It was very close. But he's got his swagger back. Bo, Squid,
wow.
Billy,
wow.
Morgan takes it.
This is embarrassing for you, Dylan.
No, it's
this
not.
I think the only one that's being embarrassed is you, Michael. This you don't have to talk to that line.
His last three arguments were way better than yours. I'm just going to be honest.
Wow.
His last three arguments. Well, you got the first point. I'll give it to you, sure. But Bo took the rest of it.
I just have to start yelling. That's the point here.
Nah, his arguments were better if you're listening.
It was the Dark Knight Rises reference. Let's be honest.
That's right.
I was molded by it. All right, we do have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do the wake-up call. 404-726-0929 at 929 Morning Show. Got a couple of wake-up calls for you. What is your confidence level in Mike Bobo and Gunnar Stockton, the combo to lead Georgia's offense this year? Also, do you have a burner account? Do you think Bo needs a burner account? And what should Bo's burner account be called? Weigh in at 929 Morning Shift, 404-726-0929. It's a wake-up call coming at you on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.